I use 2 Timothy 1:7 as my foundation when I'm dealing with anxiety. It says, "For the Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and," I like this, "a sound mind."
That's Dr. Gregory Jantz with insights on anxiety, which impacts so many of us today, young and old. He's back to offer hope and healing on today's episode of Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller.
John, we had a great discussion last time. If folks missed it, you can get it through the app for your phone, and you can look at all the episodes of Focus on the Family, download it at the website, or you can look at it on YouTube.
Catch it again.
So it's available in all those places, but I thought it was exceptionally helpful for those that have anxiety and for those who don't, but have loved ones who do suffer from anxiety. And it was so helpful to give people handles on how to begin to identify it and address those issues in their life. We talked about kind of the holistic approach where you have to exercise, get plenty of water, and begin to work on those things that are causing you anxiety. And we're going to continue that discussion today with Dr. Gregory Jantz.
Yeah, and Dr. Jantz is the founder of the Center, A Place of Hope, which is located in Edmonds, Washington. It's a treatment center for anxiety and depression. He's a mental health expert. He's written a number of books, including one that really covers this topic so well, The Anxiety Reset, A Life-Changing Approach to Overcoming Fear, Stress, Worry, Panic Attacks, OCD, and More.
Dr. Jantz, welcome back to Focus.
Yes, today more anxiety.
No kidding. You know, I think what I wanted to kick off with on day two here is more of the spiritual context of what we're talking about. You know, this really gives great emphasis to the burden the Lord has carried for us. You know, when we think of how we were meant to be perfect, and then how sin entered the world and how that expresses itself in so many different ways. We are not the perfect people we were created to be. That's the whole point of Jesus's redemption and us being able to confess our sin and have forgiveness in Christ, become Christian, etc. But it's kind of an interesting place to start when we talk about things in the mental health space that hold us back, and we seem to treat that differently than other things.
Sure.
I mean, disease. We weren't meant to have disease, right? In the perfect garden.
Right.
So when we look at it, we, in some ways, spiritually, we need to understand that God is forgiven all, and he takes the burden for us. And this is just part of this broken life.
It is part of the broken life. And sometimes we inadvertently are adding to anxiety, probably unintentionally.
How do we do that?
Maybe by faulty beliefs. If I was only a good enough Christian, God would, or I wouldn't suffer from this. And we start to rewrite our theology a little bit.
Wow, that's interesting.
So, so what we believe is really important.
So when we say Jesus is sufficient, God is sufficient, we need to believe it.
We need to believe it, and we need to have a system in our life where we're renewing our mind. Okay, so if I'm 6 hours a day into social media, that's probably not renewing my mind.
Wow. Okay,
right? So have a system for renewing your mind, which simply means putting God's truth in.
Yeah.
We've got to keep putting God's truth in. Is that the instant cure for anxiety? No, but it's building the foundation that will be.
Well, that's good. Now, you take that holistic approach. I mentioned it in the setup.
Yes.
And I mentioned drinking water. And I read that in the book. I thought that was amazing. But just speak to that holistic approach. What does it mean when it comes to diet, exercise?
Absolutely.
Doing the other foundational things on top of the great foundation of Scripture and knowing the Lord.
Right. Well, we're so used to just wanting to have the magic cure, the magic pill. You know, it's like, just give it to me. I'll take it. Everything will be fine. And that's And that's really not the way it works. Give me the simple, quick answer. Mm-hmm. You know, God could be taking anxiety in your life and taking us through a journey. We may be needing to learn some things. Okay, when my wife had the cancer diagnosis and there was anxiety, and anxiety in our family, anxiety in me, okay, there was a journey of faith and growth. I'm not the same person today that I was then.
Mm.
Okay? And things that used to cause maybe some anxiety are pretty mild now, right?
Yeah, right, in comparison.
In comparison.
Yeah.
It puts things in perspective. So as you look at anxiety in your life, look at every area of your life. Do I have some toxic relationships that really are creating a lot of anxiety? Mm. Do I have maybe a poor lifestyle of poor nutrition? And I have worked with people who have had exceedingly poor nutrition. And we start to change a few things. And as we change a few things, they start to feel better. As you start to feel better, you start to receive information better. So remember, anxiety takes my ability to concentrate, and I can't concentrate. I can't focus. So I could be having a counseling session with you and working with you, but if you're so anxious, you can't even remember a thing I'm saying. That's not going to help much.
Mm.
That's why anxiety has to be treated in the whole person. Yeah. That's why we want to ask the Lord to come and guide our conversation, show us what needs to be addressed, and give us the ears to hear.
Yeah. Those are good thoughts. You share a story about a patient named Alan who experienced childhood trauma because of a swimming pool incident when he was a child. My heart went out to this story, but explain it for the listeners and
the
viewers.
I think Alan was in the sixth grade. He was kind of afraid of water. They went on, it was a school event actually. And of course, kids were teasing him and he ended up in the deep end and he had a lot of anxiety. Okay, wasn't confident in any ability to swim. So he actually was pulled out of the pool by the lifeguards.
Yeah, he got in trouble.
He got in trouble.
Yeah.
And he's in sixth grade.
Yeah.
So that created, can you imagine the fear that created for him?
Mm.
That he carried his whole life. But that fear rippled into other areas of his life. It made him feel uncertain about himself. He didn't feel confident. So it wasn't just swimming or water. It affected his entire life.
Right.
That's what anxiety does.
Right, that manifestation in different ways. How do we take an assessment to really think, are there things that happened to me that are the triggers that we're acting out today as adults that we haven't stopped to say, you know what, when I think back, maybe my fear of this started there.
And there's usually a starting point. There usually is.
Yeah.
So take out a piece of paper and say 15 minutes, and Lord God, show me anything that I need to be aware of to address, maybe that happened long ago. Don't make a huge deal out of it. Just keep it easy. And just write down for 15 minutes whatever comes to mind.
Right.
And so I just want you to look at what were the events that shaped fear in your life?
You had another story about a woman, and this one again is, boy, it's going to connect with so many women. But she was assaulted as a teenager, and that was extremely difficult for her. What were some of the things that she put in place to protect her heart?
She was sexually assaulted in high school. And I'm just going to say this is more common than what one would realize.
Right.
So I know we're speaking to some folks today that, something happened, could have been a rape, some form of sexual assault, and that changed something for you. It put fear in your life. It began to change what God's design for sex and sexuality is. And that fear has been present and you're hypersensitive. You have hyper vigilance. You're easily startled about anything. So seeds of fear were planted. Now, there's redemption and healing for that, but it had a real effect in your life.
Mm-hmm. You know, when someone hears that, there's redemption, it may feel far away.
It may feel
like
far
you're
away.
Looking down a tunnel and that seed of redemption is thousands of feet from you. And it would be hard to imagine I can make that journey.
Yes.
How does a person, I mean, there's no simple answer to this. I get it. But what is the hope of that journey that you can actually get to the end
and,
of the
and
tunnel?
And there is, and I'm going to say, there's hope for all anxiety and fear journeys.
Yeah.
Okay, remember the Lord said he didn't give us a spirit of fear, so we don't have to carry the fear. Okay, there'll be some normal anxieties. There's things that happen in life. We've been talking about a diagnosis. You get a diagnosis, the initial response is fear and anxiety. You just can't stay parked there. Mm-hmm. We cannot dwell in anxiety.
Don't be crippled by
because
it
will take us where we don't want to go. In other words, redemption could be healing. So my body has been accustomed to dealing with in a certain way. And so your body has to be retrained. Maybe that sounds funny, but you have an immediate nervous system response to something. Well, our body can be retrained. Maybe you've learned to always, your what if is, you always go right to the worst possible thing every time. And maybe you're misjudging people. Maybe you look over there and you see that person and they go that, and you make judgments. So there needs to be a, if you will, a cleansing of maybe critical judgments. There needs to be a whole new place, and you need to see yourself as God sees you. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't mean that to sound super simple. Ultimately, it is. And you can, I just want to say, you can get there.
Yeah. That's good.
Hmm. Greg, forgiveness is such a big part of this kind of a healing journey. I imagine it's very difficult if the person that did something to you, let's go back to the woman that was assaulted in high school, she may not have any clue where those people are or where that individual is. How can she seek forgiveness for someone she can't see or talk to?
I have to tell you, this is an incredibly important piece to the healing. So, and we need to go, forgiveness doesn't mean I need to see them or talk to them, but forgiveness is a decision I'm making because I no longer want to be poisoned by what happened to me. My poison is resentment. My poison is it's still affecting my relationships today. I want freedom from that. And so sometimes it's forgiving. Some people don't even know who or where the person was or is. Sometimes it's forgiving the event. It's forgiving what happened because I no longer am going to carry that into my present relationships. Mm. That's a powerful decision. And one of the things that begins to happen, you know, if you've crossed that threshold, if you start to have gratitude in your life.
Mm.
When people start to get healed from anxiety, they start to have this gratefulness. It's really powerful. It's hard for anxiety and gratefulness to live together. In an odd way, I can be grateful for some of the painful journeys that I've come on because I'm a different person now, and I'm probably going to be influential to help others, which is powerful. So, but I see this in the lives of folks that come to us for help. There's a threshold they cross, and they start to have gratitude for people in their life, and they start to want to be of service to others.
Mm. You explain in the book, anxiety is kind of like being in a concrete barred cell, and that you need to create the jailbreak.
Yeah. Mm.
So describe what the jailbreak.
The jailbreak.
And people that have anxiety know exactly what you're talking about out of the book, that it feels like you're locked in.
You're locked in, and that's that spirit of fear that holds you back. When we talk about anxiety, there's the spiritual side, and then there's the relationship side. There's the whole person side, so we want to look at it. So the breakout is also a decision. I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm committed to working through whatever I have to have healing. I'm not going to be bound by this. And there's a decision we make. And maybe at first it's because you're so locked into living with anxiety, it's almost normal. It's not a healthy normal, but you're used to it.
Yeah.
And if you say to a person, no, you don't have to live that way, they're going to go, what? No, I don't get that. So we need to teach a new way to live.
Right.
And I know that it can be done.
It can sound like, I want to make sure that you're differentiating for the listener who might be struggling with anxiety, that you can simply will yourself out of it. And people with anxiety sometimes, that's a no.
Right. No. And remember, hope comes when there's a plan. So we're putting together a plan for that jailbreak. It's a plan.
Okay? What does it look like, the plan? So,
and that's where I'm going to, okay, is there that early childhood trauma? Is there chemical issues? Do I have a secret hidden addiction? You know, what is going on in my life? Have I developed another form of anxiety is obsessive compulsive disorder? Mm-hmm. Have I developed some faulty beliefs around who God is or God's love for me? We start to believe things that are not true. Remember, anxiety is one of the ways that the enemy comes to what? Kill and destroy. We do that through fear.
Yeah.
So we need a good plan of hope to get out of that.
Yeah, and it's so true. I have relationships that I know these people are struggling with anxiety.
Yes.
Can you look at it in, again, stages where some people will feel so incapacitated, they might not be able to look for a job. They might not be able to. Yeah, think of the young people that went through COVID, that graduated high school with 2 years of no contact or little contact, all at home learning.
Yes.
It really did impact that community. And those 20-somethings now are kind of struggling with how to get on track.
Oh, they are. And this is a very real issue. Remember, for kids, a lot of times they're absorbing the fear that's around them.
Yeah.
So we need to be aware of that.
And they absorbed a lot during that time.
They absorbed a lot. Remember, one of the lies of anxiety is you don't have purpose or you don't have meaning. That's what anxiety tells you.
Yeah.
Anxiety tells you you don't really matter. Remember, it's always the opposite. The truth is always the opposite.
Yeah, that's a good word.
So, Greg, I'm thinking of the spouse who is married to someone who is just caught by anxiety. And platitudes, I mean, let's just say I'm that person. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, Dina is not full of anxiety. But if she were, I wouldn't have anything to say to her. I wouldn't know what to do.
Right.
How could I possibly help her besides saying, hey, let's listen to this Focus on the Family show? But what are some things I could do to just help my spouse start to see hope and see the truth?
Okay, wonderful question. And remember, receiving it from a family member is always the most difficult. So I'm probably going to take her and we're going to go outside for a walk. We're going to create movement.
Hmm.
Always create movement together when you feel anxious. If it's changing the room in your house, get up, let's go for a walk. You will also begin to change how you talk when you're walking. So movement changes. So that's just one simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also would probably say, can I get you something to drink? And it would be water or hot tea or something. Because water is really interesting. When a person's anxious, start to have them drink water or some hot tea.
It just helps.
Well, it begins. So we're accessing different parts of the brain. We're changing the environment. We're moving. And that other person will feel some comfort, but they also will feel like, oh, you care about me. Mm-hmm. You're not just giving me quick answers. You care about me. You're with me.
Huh.
A person in fear needs you to be with them.
Hmm.
Yeah. You have a great story about John that really caught your attention. What happened?
So John ultimately came for help for anxiety. John was successful.
Okay.
But he worked from home and got deep anxiety, deep depression. And John had been to a half a dozen counselors and doctors, and nothing was working. And he said this. He goes, you're my last hope.
Yeah.
That, well, John was paralyzed by anxiety. Though he could sit at his computer and work all day, he would not go out. He had social anxiety. He couldn't make self-care decisions anymore. And so I said, well, John, one of the things we do is we want to look at what have you been putting in your mouth? In other words, what have you been eating?
Yeah.
And the revelation was that over time, this took a couple years, John was primarily drinking only coffee, never drinking water anymore. Hmm. And he had got himself up to 10 to 12 pots of coffee a day.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and here was, I said, John, you must mean cups, the cups of coffee. He says, no, they're pots. And what's a home brewer have? 10, 12
cups
of coffee in it.
Yeah.
And that's all he did all day long.
Wow. Mm.
But here's what was remarkable. John said, nobody's ever asked me what I put in my mouth. Hmm. I was just looking for the magic pill. Because was his digestion off? Was he depleted in B vitamins? Was there a lot of physical issues because of that? Yes. So, you know, by God's design, what we put in our mouth ultimately will matter.
Yeah.
And so John had significant anxiety in his life. Now, that wasn't the only reason, but was that a reason that amplified everything? Yes.
Contributing
factor. I have to tell you, I've never seen another John. I've never seen another person that does 10 to 12 pots of coffee a day. But that's the importance of, well, what are you putting in your mouth that could be contributing?
And that helped him immeasurably.
Well, what we did was, it was one cup of coffee, then a bottle of water. One cup of coffee, and that's how you had to do
Start there.
Yeah. But, you know, John couldn't walk around the block.
Hmm.
And so one of our team members actually walked him around the block. He wouldn't have the energy for it.
Yeah.
And he was afraid to go outside. So no matter how fear or anxiety has you paralyzed, there is hope for you. It comes by a plan, and God will give us that plan.
Yeah. You mentioned hope a few times through our time together yesterday and today.
Yes.
I want to talk about that story about James, who was, I think, a biologist. He had a number of family members that died of cancer, and he was contemplating taking his own life. Describe that setting and then what happened.
James had had significant loss, family member after family member, and it almost didn't seem real, like it was too much. His question that came to his mind was, why is it even worth living? Does my life even matter? And so he didn't have the relationships. And in his mind, and he was brilliant. He had a brilliant mind. But he still came to the place of despair. And the place of despair said, my life is probably not worth living. I'll just, you know, join the others. That was where his thinking went. Uh-huh. And so fear, anxiety can cause you to do two things, desperation and despair.
Yeah. And in that context, I think he went to an area of the beach where he knew there was a strong current. He was going to swim out and just end. But it was as if the Lord sent a dog, right? Mm-hmm. Describe that. I mean, this is that idea of hope you had mentioned.
Yes.
And what did this animal do that persuaded him that somebody cared?
So, you know, it's how does God do this? You know, so a dog runs on the beach and disrupts his plan and gets him thinking about other things.
Right. The dog's running between him and the beach and, like, and not letting him go in the water.
And so, you know, what, God is at work in a great way.
Yeah.
And it distracts. And that's when we get into anxiety. We need a truth distraction. So the Lord used that dog to distract him.
And it gave him the thought that somebody cares.
Somebody, and it gave him somebody hope. Might care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and by the way, we're known at times to use pets in our treatment of anxiety.
Sure.
So this is part of God's design.
Yeah. I just think it's a beautiful story of hope.
Yeah.
And God will use all kinds of things to bring us that hope. That's what I like about that. And let's end here. Faith in Christ is integral to healing from anxiety. Obviously, we've talked about this the last couple of days, the spiritual application to it, the foundation that you have to build everything upon. Take care of your spirit, then your body, and then begin to take notes on other things that are going on in your life. I think you've been very explicit. People need to get the book. We've scratched the surface, and we'll tell you how to get the book in a minute. But what I want to end with is what Jesus meant when he said, ask, seek, and knock, because you have a very specific application to those.
Yes, and we want to keep knocking. There's times we feel like God's not hearing me, God doesn't care, others don't understand, and it can get very dark. And my encouragement to you is, this is not the time, not the season to stop knocking, because there will be an answer. There'll probably be multiple answers. And God may bring somebody into your life. I'm a big proponent of getting the right kind of help, you know, and maybe it's counselors, but stepping out and today doing something different.
Yeah, do something different. Don't be the same person tomorrow as you are today. And that's true for all of us.
Well, and you have more courage than what you realize.
Yeah.
Remember, anxiety is lying to you and you don't feel courageous, but you're going to take a step today. And the more steps you take, you will feel encouraged ultimately.
There you go.
The regret comes when I don't do anything.
Well, that's good. Greg, it's been so good to have you with us. Thank you so much for the hours you poured into doing the book, The Anxiety Reset, the time you spent with us the last couple of days. Thanks for reaching out and helping so many with this issue of anxiety. Appreciate it.
Oh, and from the depths of my heart, I know there's hope.
Yeah.
And this has been Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. And today, encouragement for stressful situations in life from Dr. Gregory Jantz, who shared that there's always hope for healing, especially from anxiety, even during our lowest moments. And we hope that you were encouraged by his thoughts. Dr. Jantz's book is The Anxiety Reset, A Life-Changing Approach to Overcoming Fear, Stress, Worry, Panic Attacks, OCD, and more. It covers so very much. It's a great resource to have. Look for that online or at a local bookseller. Thanks for listening today to Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller.
What an important reminder that we don't have to live bound by fear or anxiety. There is real hope and healing in Christ. And I want to echo what Dr. Jantz and Jim shared. If you're feeling overwhelmed or anxious, please don't walk through this alone. Our team of caring Christian counselors is here to listen and pray with you, and we can help you take those first steps toward peace. You can find out more or request a counseling session at safamily.co.za/counseling or call 031-716-3300. This Christmas, consider giving a gift that truly matters, the gift of family. Your donation to Focus on the Family brings hope, counseling, and God's love to hurting families across Africa. You can give online at safamily.co.za or by EFT. Details are on the website. Thank you for helping families thrive. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you to join us next time when we'll, as always, help you and your family thrive in Christ.